who's going to come and share a talk.
Thank you, Alison. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and your capacity to speak to us through it, to share your love and what you have for each of us today. I pray, Lord, help all of us who need to hear you. Amen. I was reflecting this week that increasingly, one of life's certainties that we all have to navigate at some point is moments in life where everything gets a bit too much. Perhaps it's too much to handle. Maybe it's just too much stuff heading our way. And we might call it overwhelm or stress or burnout. And it's no doubt exacerbated by the busy, hyper-connected world in which we live. There's a huge temptation, isn't there, for many of us to run too hot for too long. And if those feelings aren't actually from our own doing, then we know that for all of us, there will be points where the circumstances of life are simply beyond our control, and they might bring us to that same place of being exhausted and at the end of ourselves. And I find there's a great irony at these points, because they're the points at which we want to hear God's direction often the very most, but ironically, we struggle to hear him above the chaos. God is present, but when we are weary and when we are tired, it is just so much harder to see him there. And if you can relate to any of that, either right now or you can see times in life where it's happened, those periods of burnout or crazy busy schedule or just life circumstances overwhelming you, then you are in very good company with Elijah. But better news, actually, Elijah's story offers us a realistic plan to move out of that place with God. So when we pick up in 1 Kings 19, we find Elijah himself is badly in need of hearing a fresh direction from God. He has been doing what prophets do best. He has been speaking truth to power. He's dueled with the prophets of Baal, and it's not gone down overly well with the ultimate said power of that time, King Ahab. And Elijah, despite having worked so hard and having done so much for God, finds himself literally needing to run for his life. And it's to the wilderness that he runs. And here we see, under the solitary broom tree, the depth of his exhaustion. Elijah, we read, asked that he might die. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. And that's a real cry, isn't it, of utter defeat from Elijah. He is exhausted, he is scared, he is burned out, he is overwhelmed. You put whatever term you want on it, Elijah is feeling it. He is at that point where he is ready to give up. Now, fortunately for him, in this point of the story, all of that fatigue catches up with him and he falls asleep. But only to be woken up sometime later by an angel, which was probably quite a disturbing sort of a thing to happen for him. But nevertheless, that's what happens. And it's in this angel that we see God's recovery plan in action. We read suddenly, the end of verse 5, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. See, far from being distant at that point, God is actually deeply involved in Elijah's circumstances. It's just that the help that he provides is not the help that Elijah thinks he needs at that point, but actually it's the help that Elijah needs most. One of the joys of being human is that we are physical beings first and foremost. And actually there is a real and proper need when we're in these places of burnout to actually attend to the most basic needs first. It's actually the key perhaps to recovering well and coming through difficult times. And it's the first step before a new direction can emerge. So if you are in that place of struggle right now, or should you find yourself there in the future, often the first thing that God calls us to do is not to seek a magical new direction or a brand new plan to solve everything, but to stop. To stop and rest. To stop and refuel. we might need to ask ourselves those basic questions of, am I getting enough sleep? Am I eating well? You know, it's too easy, isn't it, when we are stressed for nutrition to go out the window when things are hard. Because, you know, let's face it, chocolate seems way more healing than carrot sticks, right? We might need to think about what stopping looks like. Do we need to take time off or time out from something to lay down some of the busy things for a while in order to attend to those basics? Worth noting, Elijah, who does phenomenal things for God at this point, is doing no ministry whatsoever. He isn't serving anyone else. He's simply having to stop. And the angel appears a second time, which is, again, just re-emphasizing the importance of Elijah stopping in this food and drink and rest pattern. Because it is only when that pattern has been continued, perhaps numerous times, that Elijah is able to move forwards. And even then, even at that point, he isn't going to hear God's voice and the answer he is looking for. He's going to hear what God needs him to hear next. So he journeys from underneath this broom tree to Mount Horeb, only to find God asking him, well, Elijah, why are you here? And Elijah replies, he lists his woes. He answered God. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. In other words, he says, I have been literally busting my gut for you, Lord, and now they're trying to kill me. What sort of reward is this? So even though Elijah has rested and begun the process of restoration, God has more healing to do in Elijah before he is ready for the next thing. And as we hear that, those words from him, you can sense that injustice in his voice. You can hear that suffering and the trauma of the event still fresh in Elijah. And that is why he's not quite ready to move beyond it yet. Because our next factor, after being rested and physically restored, is time. Time is a key factor here in this story of Elijah. Because instead of God revealing to him the new plan and the new direction, his instruction to Elijah is that you need to wait. Now, it's fascinating. I've done a little bit of reading around this because there's no indication in the scripture as to how long the gaps between the wind, the earthquake and the fire were. Some people would say those gaps were really long and profound, perhaps days, weeks, even months. Other commentators would say perhaps they kind of just go sequentially. In one sense, it doesn't matter. The key is that they all involve Elijah waiting, because they were all different means by which God had spoken before, and Elijah was familiar with them. But God chooses not to speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. Instead, Elijah must wait. And once he has waited, once enough time has passed, it's the sound of sheer silence that leads Elijah to hear God. And we read that he covers his face in reverence. That's how we know that that's the moment he's heard God, because that's the appropriate action. And when we go through challenging times, I think it often takes time, and if not more time than we would like or want, before we're able to hear God and to seek clearly those next steps. And the thing to hold on to is God is always there. God is working through all of it, just as he is working through the food and the drink, the rest, the recovery and the time in Elijah's life. But it's our ability to hear him that needs time to recover. And it might only be that when we have taken enough time to rest and recover, that then we'll be ready for God to lead us into something new. And this time, in that encountering God in the sheer silence, that when Elijah repeats his situation again, then and only then he hears what God has for him, that he is to return to Damascus and anoint Hazael as king. Elijah needed to take the long way round to be ready for what God had next. And I think this is a real challenge for us, isn't it? This concept of time and rest and restoration when things are difficult, because we live in a next day delivery world that is seemingly jam-packed with silver bullet, just follow this plan and fix everything, YouTube shorts advice. And that makes us want to solve stuff and move forwards quickly. But actually, it makes it even harder, because what we need to do is to go slowly and to tend to our needs before those fresh plans can take root and take form in our lives. So again, if you are in that place today, if you're feeling burnt out or overwhelmed, or perhaps you can see it coming on the horizon, then my encouragement today is we need to think Elijah. We need to think of this story and see how God has acted in Elijah's life, and know and trust that God will do the same in us. So we firstly need to address those basic needs. We need to think through, what do I need to stop? And perhaps, how can I rest? How can I be restored? And to hold in mind that rest looks all sorts of different ways. For some people, that will literally mean more sleep, more time alone, being away from things. But not everybody rests in that way. You know, for others, it will be actively engaging in things that restore them. It might be re-picking up the interests that get dropped when things are busy. It might be reinvesting in those friendships that bring life. It could be as simple as playing sports or watching something that makes us laugh. It comes in all different shapes and sizes, and knowing ourselves and what restores us is a really important thing. So we need to attend to those things. We need to attend to what we eat, I mean, on a basic level, and see the difference that makes. And the key is not to rush through the first stage to get to the answer, but actually to allow God to give us that time and in his grace to bring us back physically to where we need to be. Because that's how we will move beyond that place. And that's the toughest lesson for us to take away, is that we need to learn to wait upon God. That to hear what is next will first require us to attend to the more basic needs as part of the process, and then to take time to listen. And we can trust, though, in God, because his timing is perfect. And we know that no matter where we are, what we're going through, God is seeking out that right point in that process at which he can make his plans clear and the next steps obvious to you. Our job is simply to rest, recover, and to wait. And then with enough time to be open to hearing that still small voice of God, who, when the timing is perfect and right, will lead us onwards into that next chapter. Amen. Well, we're going to take some time to pray. I encourage you, if you would like me to pray for people as part of our prayers, just to drop their first names only into the comments, as usual. And when we get to that point in our prayers, I'll pray for them. But Lord, we bring to you ourselves this morning, wherever we're at, whether we're in that place that is energized and full of life, or whether we're in that place where actually life is tough, we're busy, we are stretched at the end of ourselves, or perhaps we can simply see that that is the thing that is coming down the road. We can see those early signs of where we might be headed. Perhaps, Lord, we are in that place where it's the circumstances of what has happened, the actions of others, the things beyond our control that have led us to that place of tiredness, of exhaustion. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who promises to be with us and has the best plans and the best ways of leading us through. I wonder if this morning one or two of us simply need to say to the Lord, actually, Lord, I need to rest. I need to have some food and some drink and some sleep and to catch up with myself so I can catch up properly with you. Perhaps today will be a moment of acknowledging that need. And the Lord says, rest, eat, drink, sleep, go see your friends, go kick that football around in the park, do those things you need to do. Perhaps, Lord, we are waiting. Perhaps we find ourselves frustrated that we desperately want to hear from you what is next, and yet that seems unclear. Lord, be with us. Give us that patience in waiting and that trust of knowing that your timing will be perfect and that you and you alone know the moment at which you will speak so that we might hear you. And Lord, may we trust that when you do speak, that we will know that it is you. That like Elijah, we will bring our hands and cover our faces in reverence because we know we are in your presence.